fighting for America.
This is like playing poker with a guy who cheated you twice before. You know who does that? A moron.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, you ever been to Idaho?
You know, it's funny you say that. Just this last autumn, I was up there on an elk hunting trip.
Did you get anything?
I did. I got the biggest elk I've ever gotten before in my life, and enjoying that on a weekly basis in our freezer.
Fighting for you.
I went and got engaged, so yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a life, but you know, not one that would be enough to ignore the Kevin Miller Show.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us now is State Representative Vito Barbieri. Representative Barbieri, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, the last time I think we had you on, and you're going to go, gee, you slappies in the press only want to talk to us when there's controversy. I mean, we had a nice
stuff.
Yeah, but before that, I mean, we had a nice mellow meeting at Thomas Hammer. I think that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was a nice meeting. Enjoyed that.
Hopefully, you'll enjoy our time with you today. First and foremost, let's talk about what happened yesterday and the brouhaha behind it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everything has got to be used in context. And of course, you know, in this process, while in committee, we're taking testimony, we ask questions, we don't comment. The doctor was making a comparison, and I thought an unwarranted comparison, of the danger of a colonoscopy compared to the danger of taking these chemicals that a woman would take to induce an abortion. And we were, of course, it's within the context of telemedicine, where this would be a long distance, where the doctor would not be in attendance, and the doctor's merely looking at a video feed and asking the woman questions. There's plenty of testimony around this, but, you know, the doctor pushes a button and a drawer opens, and the woman takes these two chemicals. One she takes immediately, and it starves the baby 2 days. And then the next one she takes, it expels the baby. And, of course, with that expulsion, there's a lot of bleeding. There's a lot of hemorrhaging. And there's the woman at home, who knows how far away from a doctor, not knowing whether this is normal bleeding, not knowing if there's a complication or an issue. And she's really not even really consulted or had a doctor examine her. So this colonoscopy, she's saying, is, you know, much more dangerous than these chemicals. And you can take a tablet and swallow it, and it's a camera, and it can, you know, be read by a doctor thousands of miles away. And my, of course, was trying to make the comparison that this is not the same thing. And so I asked a rhetorical question, and it's fascinating to take that out of context. And really, the number of people that believe what they see without thinking, is there no context here? It's a fascinating process.
Well, not only that, but you as a champion for the unborn, you as a champion of conservative values, here you are talking about the life of an unborn child, talking about defending children, and instead of having the focus on that, we have the bottom-feeding, parasitical, mindless local and national press trying to make an idiot out of you, sir.
It's got to be about the idiot. It's not about the issue. And really, truly, the issue is that the proponents of abortion are putting the accessibility issue above the safety and health of the woman. And they've just got it upside down. And when we try to drill down on this, you know, what about the woman, her mental, emotional health, her physical health, this is not of concern. The main concern is making absolutely sure that we don't discuss the issues. We, you know, go do all kinds of different, you know, divergence, and keep it off of the subject. And the subject is the health and safety of the woman, as well, of course, as the unborn child.
And the idea that, well, here's a Republican, here's a conservative, here's Idaho out of touch. And having known you, I mean, I take this personally. I saw what they did to Senator Winder. And,
yes.
You know, the idea that this is okay without any rebuttal is just outrageous.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that rebuttal. I mean, it's one thing, you know, I don't take myself that seriously. Certainly the work we do here in Boise and the issues are serious. But at the same time, one wants to at least, you know, it's amazing, again, you know, that someone can take what they see as just total face value and not consider the what's going on here and be that easily manipulated by the media. It's amazing.
Well, and the idea that, you know, in Idaho, thankfully, we have a conservative majority, but in other states you have the media that influences public policy. We see that in our culture, sir.
Yeah, and that's really true. They have a huge influence, and indeed they should, given, you know, the airwaves and the television and the rest of the stuff. I mean, and that's their responsibility. They take it the way they will. They have an agenda, and issues like this and with Senator Winder, it should be clear to those with just a little bit of discernment that you know, that agenda is always, always, always going to be put forth above the seriousness of the issues at hand.
So as we move along, when did you realize you'd have to make an additional clarification here?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was busy most of the day, and I had I chair the business committee, so I was in that starting at 1:30, really oblivious to the brouhaha. And then when that was over, the phone was starting to ring, but I was busy. I wasn't taking the calls. And then somebody said something, and I realized that, you know, whoa, we're talking calls from New York, from Texas, from what is going on?
Right.
And then I spoke to Betsy Russell, and Betsy Russell said, it's gone viral. And I went, whoa, you know, that's amazing, but I hadn't seen the clip yet. But anyway, I just explained the context, and I understand, especially here, local media, you know, it reflects on Idaho, and it's unfortunate that it does reflect on Idaho. I feel bad about that part of it because, you know, it's up here in the north, it's isolated, it's highly rural, and so, you know, the national media, East and West Coast, they're going to take this and, you know, really let people believe that we don't really have a clue. It's just astounding to me.
Well, and then you throw in the sexism of you being a man.
Yeah, that's got to be it too, you know. I mean, you know, I'm not supposed to be concerned about the health and safety of the baby, let alone the mother.
Well, and that's your intention, is to save lives and to help these women that are considering this and to make sure that, you know, there is some fairness. And yet we have people, again, the East Coast, the West Coast, without even knowing, you know, how to pronounce your name, condemning you.
But I'm not listening to that. But, yeah, you know, it's just amazing that, of course, again, they have the agenda. But, you know, to realize that, you know, we're fighting a battle here, and it has to do with life. And, you know, when I've spent, what, 6-7 years on the board of Open Arms Pregnancy Care Center up there in Coeur d'Alene, where we work hard to help women bring their babies full term. But we also see the trauma and the emotional damage of those that have gone through the abortion process. And for the pro-aborts to pretend that these powerful chemicals are the same as taking an aspirin, that it's really nothing to worry about. I mean, we had testimony of women having done this and having delivered, you know, a 6-week-old baby or something like that, that was fully formed. I mean, you know, and she was in shock. I mean, that will stick with her forever. What do I do with this human being that is no longer alive? And the trauma that's involved in that, and the pro-aborts just completely disregard the emotional health of the woman in going through such a traumatic, traumatic experience. And I am not qualified because I'm a man.
Representative Vito Barbieri with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. And yet, none of your comments will make the paper, will make the TV, or any other radio show when we're talking about this. I mean, those are specific, concrete, real-life statements having much more of an impact on women and kids and life in Idaho than your statement about the swallowing the camera, the pill.
Yeah, and, you know, and I hear your frustration, too. But, you know, from my perspective, it's been, you know, years, decades that I have recognized that television is manipulative and it is selective, and if one spends too much time in it, one begins to believe that worldview and that perspective because one is inundated with so much of it. And so it's, you know, I turned off the television a long time ago, but I understand that they're not going to want to – nothing rational is going to come out of this from their perspective. It's an irrational, ignorant Idahoan who has no clue about the birds and the bees. I mean, you know, how much discernment does it take to say something is wrong here? But, boy, from the emails and the rest of it, it's clear the knee-jerk reaction is they believe everything they see. And that's sad for America. It's really – it doesn't, you know, portend well for America when we are not able to stop and reflect on that which we see on television and the radio. It is what it is.
Representative Barbieri, getting some more information from this. Now, apparently the folks from Planned Parenthood and the doctor that you were talking to was very sarcastic with you.
Well, she of course, and it was a definite TV moment for her. And that was not my. It's never my place. It's never our place as committee members to respond in kind or to, you know, in any way respond. All we're trying to do is gather information. And of course, her response was exactly what I was eliciting. I was looking for something that would say that these two are clearly, obviously, you know, no question, not comparable. One does not compare a colonoscopy. And you know, it was interesting too in terms of some of the testimony and some of the give and take. You know, they were all over the fact that it's a standard procedure and Idaho law that an ultrasound be done prior to this any abortion. And yet it was just a couple of years ago they were yelling mechanical rape, they were yelling all these things, but all we were trying to do at that point was allow the woman an opportunity to view the ultrasound before she made her determination. But again, they changed the subject of the conversation, and they were able to get these real great sound bites about, you know, mechanical rape and all these things, and drowned out what is reasonable and what the whole, you know, perspective is. The whole point of it is, and that is to give her a chance to have as much information as possible before she makes this very, very important decision. And so it's interesting that they'll be, you know, they'll change their story. They'll move as fast as they can. And, of course, they're very agile to keep one from being able to focus on the death of a baby. And by golly, there's nothing more that's going to be discussed about that. And so, I hear your frustration. They're not going to be able to focus on anything that has to do with that. That's not the agenda. That's not the way that the owners of the media, you know, want it to be portrayed.
Representative Barbieri, final thought for you. We didn't get your take on the whole add the words hearings.
Oh yeah, that was, you know, as I said in my final comments, the time when we can talk after those hearings, it was very tragic to hear some of the stories of the violence that is visited on these individuals that have chosen this lifestyle. It's just that, in looking at it and trying to recognize that there are always a couple of different sides of the story, there's a certain segment on each side, those that are have an agenda to try and change this culture, excuse me, that try to, will sue a baker, will sue a photographer, and put them in bankruptcy, destroy them for this certain political agenda that they have. And then we have the other side where there are, exercising violence on these people and hurting them and demeaning them. And so there are these fringe out there that you have to consider. And then you have to recognize that there is a religious conscience. Individuals have a right to exercise their religious conscience, and to force them into behavior for the benefit of another group is just, to use a platitude, it's un-American. You know, it's just not the way America was built. America was built on common sense. America was built on freedom of conscience. And this freedom of speech and this kind of stuff, yes, that's very important. But we've got to recognize that a person cannot, their behavior cannot be mandated by law, by the culture, when it comes to their own faith in God and, the worldview that they represent. So we voted that down, and they're going to come back. They're still around the Capitol with their hands over their mouths as though we silence them as though we didn't spend 24 hours listening to them. And again, it's their worldview, it's their perspective, and that's all the media can think about, not the specifics.
Representative Barbier, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity.
Take care, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to the phones. We go to David Ripley, Idaho Chooses Life with Kevin Miller. Good morning, sir.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for being an actual journalist, fair-minded guy to give Vito a chance to, talk about what happened yesterday.
Well, we of faith have to stick together, and quite frankly, when I heard what was going on, I'm just glad he made himself available.
Well, the fact is I was actually in the hearing as opposed to your last caller, and the issue was, they had a Planned Parenthood found a doctor who was willing to come in there and defend abortionists, the practice of Planned Parenthood, where they don't even give the courtesy of having a doctor treat a woman who is making probably the most important decision of her life, and she was trying to explain that this doctor was explaining that telemedicine has been used in all kinds of really terrific situations and circumstances. She happened to use the colonoscopy narrative as a way of explaining that, there really are some applications for this. And Representative Barbieri was trying to make the point that, but this is not the same thing, okay? This is not the same kind of procedure. It doesn't involve the ending of a life. And the fact is, you need to have some hands-on human interaction with a woman or a girl. I think it's rather important for your listeners to realize this legislation applies to not just women who are 30, who may be mature and experienced about these matters. This legislation and this law applies to girls that are 15 or 13 or 12 or 11. And the fact of the matter is that there was some very disturbing testimony delivered yesterday about the health risks of abortion, the health risks of running women and girls through the Planned Parenthood turnstile. And Vito was trying to get her to admit that, in fact, the medical procedures involved in one kind of area of medicine are not applicable in all kinds of medicine. And it was the doctor, in fact, who made the sarcastic remark, which really was an attempt to demean Vito, in my opinion. And the statesman, I think the most important part of this scenario is that the statesman, Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review, the AP reporters are running a classic leftist strategy here, which is to demean people like Vito who have the courage to stand up, to defy their agendas.
Exactly.
They're going to demean them.
Right. David, I've got to run, but thank you.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Bless you.
Bless you. Our great friend David Ripley. Julie Lindy from Cornerstone Family Council with us at 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm so glad you're talking about this. And I appreciate David Ripley so much. He and Idaho Chooses Life and Carrie Owen Cotton Rights Life really carried the water on this bill. And I was in the hearing yesterday, unlike Alma, and our organization, Cornerstone Family Council, worked with David and Carrie on this bill. And I'll tell you flat out, there were so many deceptive comparisons made at that hearing, and there was so much condescending conversation. It almost amazed me that they would go as far as they did. They kept on telling the legislature that they weren't smart enough to make this decision, that they had no right to make this decision, that they should leave it alone. And to Alma's point of why in the world aren't we dealing with important things, well, hello, this is important. These are, as David was saying, young girls and women who are taking this chemical cocktail, and Planned Parenthood, regardless of what they say, does have a plan in place. They would like to have these webcam chemical cocktail abortions done via a monitor. And what they're doing is they are completely taking advantage of a very promising form of medicine called telemedicine and using it to increase their bottom line. And these women go in, take these pills. They're very dangerous. And there's not a doctor available for follow-up.
Well, and the point being, the leftist smear job on Vito, on Chuck Winder, and Julie, on you and these other things, it can't be unanswered.
Right. And what happens, and it is a standard media narrative that they try to demean us. They try to stigmatize us so that we'll shut up. And we're not going to shut up because this is wrong. This is wrong what they're doing to Vito. It's wrong what they've done to some of the rest of us in the past, and people need to hear about it. The Planned Parenthood representative stood up and said her doctors are afraid because people attack them. Well, you know what? The difference is that the truth is that we are the ones being attacked. These deceptive comparisons and condescending things that Vito was boldly trying to get this woman to talk about, and she returned a snarky comment to him. He was trying to exactly make the point. And we should not expect our legislators to have superhuman powers to just sit back and then just let these condescending things happen. And then somebody turns around and says, why didn't they stand up for themselves?
Right.
Regarding snarky legislators, one of the Democrats on the committee asked me during my testimony a question that had nothing to do with the bill. She said, well, do you believe in the separation of church and state? And I was shocked. Like, what does this have to do with anything? And I said, you know what, Representative, that phrase is not in the Constitution. And the crowd behind me just gasped like I was the stupidest person on the planet. It's not in the Constitution.
Sure. Julie, I've got to run, but thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 5:39, where is the week gone? Wednesday already. Kevin Miller in the morning, the Manly Man segment with Dave Burnett. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, I had somebody say to me the other day, they said, you know, why do you guys do the Manly Man segment? Because
that was me that said that.
You and the voices in my head after yesterday. However, they said it's offensive to women. You know, you need to be more successful. And I'm going, oh, jeez, not again. Please, not again. And when you do the Manly Man show, you and Dave Burnett focus on just one part of a crucial demographic. And I thought, well, maybe times are changing, and, you know, maybe we rename this the Manly Woman segment. I don't know, but do you buy that? Because for so many years, talk radio has been dominated by men. In fact, more men still listen to talk radio than women.
But there's a big portion of, if you look at the official numbers, there's a lot of women that listen to talk radio and listen to KIDO.
Well, I will say, in all of my years of doing this, this station is the most female friendly, and that you have more women listening to this station stereotypically than any other talk station that I've known and been a part of.
I think it's in part, it's the lifestyle. I think, and I do believe this, I'm not just blowing smoke here. I think Idaho women are a little bit more
manly.
No, I think they're,
oh, that was good.
Do not put words in my mouth.
No, hold on there. Yeah, I learned that yesterday. Hold on. Manly. Oh, there you go again.
There you go again. I think Idaho women are a little more informed, a little more, I don't want to say smarter because it's, you know, I don't want to come off like Hillary Clinton. Look how smart we are. I just think Idaho women are a little more informed and a little more down to earth. Maybe that's it. Just a little more down to earth, a little more practical. And really, being conservative, another way to say is, I'm just being practical here. I mean, I'm thinking this through, we're using a thought process, and we're being practical.
Right.
I think it's a big part of being conservative, is just thinking something all the way through.
Well, you're not using emotion, and most progressives, their arguments are emotional.
I mean, it's like this whole oil pipeline deal.
He said he'd do it.
And he did. He vetoed it because we got to make sure there's no emissions. Well, what do you think emissions are for trains and trucks hauling fuel over the border?
Right.
You think that through. You're going to reduce emissions just by putting that pipeline in. Just because that stuff's going to come across, the petroleum's going to come across the border, but it'll be trucked and trained. Not hard to think that one through.
Well, not only that, but, you know, let's go a little deeper, that you have all these accents lately with the petroleum. What was it? Well, there was one in Montana, but there was one in West Virginia. Wasn't that, a train filled with oil and such?
That, yeah, good. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I mean, so you're thinking about this going, maybe it's not safe. What happens if there's a leak in the pipeline?
But here's the thing. The administration talks as if this is something novel. There's pipelines all over this country.
Yeah.
It's just one more pipeline. I mean, there's pipelines between here and Salt Lake City. How many leaks has it had?
None that I can be aware of. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's there. And you know what? The government regulates them. They have to check them. They have to inspect them on a regular basis. So, you know, I just find the whole thing fascinating.
Well, here's the other one. I hear that, the pipeline in Alaska, you remember when they built that? You remember when that was a big deal?
I was a small child, I think, when they built it.
Right, but you remember that. That was a big deal. It dominated the news cycle for years.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because of the infrastructure and stuff, they need to replace it.
Yeah.
Just because it's old.
Yeah. What are you saying? I was a child. Now you're saying it's old? What are you saying?
I'm just saying that just like you have a car, it gets old. Mm-hmm. Now, vehicles here seem to last longer and vehicles in the South than they do in the Midwest and the Northeast because you have that oppressive winter.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine the extreme temperature changes? Like, I'm watching that new show, Buying Alaska, because I don't do anything, so I live through the TV. And it's like living in Montana. It's minus 40 in the winter. And then it's, 100 degrees in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a wear and tear, not only on the individual, but the equipment.
Yeah, but you know what? When it needs to replace, they replace it.
Well, yeah. So we've got that going on. So any surprise there that the president decided to say, we'll be seeing you to the Keystone?
No, he said he'd veto it, and he did. He wants more study. 6 years, not enough. They need more study. So,
well, one could argue, on the other hand, that with the cheap oil prices, who needs Keystone? And here's the thing that gets me. Now, you're a defender of big oil.
Okay.
You've disagreed with me on oil prices before.
Yep.
This Keystone pipeline, yeah, there's going to be jobs, and it's going to allow the Canadian oil to go down to the port of New Orleans, is it? I think, or either New Orleans or Texas.
I think
one of those
Texas.
Things.
Okay. I think.
Yeah, so, and then it's going to be shipped out, so how does that make our lives better? You know, we've not built a new refinery since forever. We've reduced the number of refineries. We're still so efficient that we're producing a surplus, and we don't use it to help the American market, which I believe that we should. Oh, that's socialism. So is healthcare. So is bailing out big business, which our government has done, GM. We ship it over to everybody else where we can make more money. So legitimately, even before fracking and everything else, there should be no reason why our gas prices aren't the way they are right now. You know, instead of $3 or $4 a gallon, they should be about, two, $1.50 would be great.
I'll give you one reason, just one alone, that's reason enough to do it. I would rather buy my oil from somebody who's a friend rather than somebody who's got a gun shooting at me in one hand while taking the money out of the other.
Right, but I mean, the Canadian oil isn't going to us, it's going to the Chinese.
Well, it's being refined here in the United States.
And yeah, that's jobs.
If there's a need to ship it out at that point, then it's shipped out and that money is brought back in here. If there's not enough here, then they keep it here.
It's brought back to the big petrodollars is what it's brought back to the big global conglomerates.
And if you don't have a part of that, I'm sorry, that's dumbness on your part. That's part of my 401k. Money that's invested in big oil, so I'm part of big oil. Would you rather the money be invested in big electricity or big wind?
I would say big electricity. I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Look at our power grid. Look at everything else. We need to reinvest in that. I mean, our grid is old and decrepit.
What's it run off of?
Electricity.
Huh?
Big electric.
What's electricity run off of?
Look, this isn't a earth science quiz here.
I'm just saying.
Coal.
You can say some's coal.
Yeah.
Some's hydro.
No,
some's
no, no. You asked me, and I'm going to say coal.
Some is
coal.
Hydro. Where's our, what's our electricity generator?
Hot air on this station.
That's like a hot air balloon festival.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, if you were to make everything of all cars.
No, wait a minute. There you go with your circular argument again. I answered your question, and then you move on to something else.
No, I'm not. If all cars were mandated to run off electricity by the year 2020, mm-hmm. you know what next big industry we'd be mad at? Big electricity.
I'm just saying, you asked me, and I would...
What did I ask you?
You asked me about what would I invest in,
mm-hmm.
big wind, big electricity, or big oil. I think that well, and let's face it, Republicans and Democrats are about the same when it comes to being sold out to big business. You know, money buys elections. And it's not like... I mean, look at all the monopolies that have creeped up. And we haven't done a thing about them. I mean, when's the last time the government said, you're too big? Look at the oil companies, back to your beloved 401k, which I think is a scam anyway. But I can.
My 401k, it is.
Well, but I'm just saying 401ks in general. Dave Petzo and I yell at each other about this. However, now I lost my train of thought, the shiny object there. The 580k idea.
So easy to distract at this
time. Yes, it is. For some reason. Well, I'm worried about the Keystone Pipeline. That's where my...
Sure. What are you worried about? What's going to happen?
Well, now I'm back. Okay.
Okay.
So there used to be, when we were growing up, like 20, 30 oil companies, right? You remember it wasn't ExxonMobil. It was Exxon and Mobil.
Owned by the same company.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
And then you had the Shell Oil Company. And then you had these companies that had competition. And then all of a sudden, these mergers happened. And you went from 20 to 15 to 10 to 5 that collude, price fix, just like OPEC, and run everything. And like I said, the last time the government took on anybody was AT&T. And there is a law called the Sherman Antitrust Act, which empowers the government to, in fact, go after these things. But they don't, because big business, you and your 401k oil company cronies have bought off the government.
Why don't you go live in a shack in the woods?
I would if I could, man. If I were king for just one day.
Go live in Mexico.
No, not going there.
Why not? Maybe big oil isn't as
big would
there.
Go to Montana.
Ooh, that's an oil company.
I would go to Utah
mm-hmm.
because they're righteous there. I don't know if I'd go to Oregon because the governor is a bisexual now.
You're afraid of that?
Not that well, it's not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she's a bisexual openly, and that's not smacking her. That's just what they say. The first openly bisexual governor. I guess that's an accomplishment.
I guess.
I mean, are we going to check everything now? He is a heterosexual, but he's okay. And
he's
blah,
openly
blah, blah.
Heterosexual, though.
Yes, and here's the first polygamist governor we've had since, you know, the 1800s. I mean, it gets so goofy.
The media loves to do that.
Yeah.
This is the first Mormon Native American. Larry Echohawk.
Back where I would go, I would go to those places if I wanted to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to be integrated, I'd go to Dixie.
Dixie?
Oh, Dixie. I got a friend of mine, actually, you know him, who just moved to Dixie. And I was thinking about him this morning for some strange reason.
Was he whistling?
He probably is now. And I said, man, enjoy the sweet tea, this, that, and the other. Now, look, you have traffic, you have crime there, you have racial issues, you have good college football. Everything in life is a trade-off.
Mm-hmm. I have no opinion. I've never lived there.
I'm just saying. So back to where I would live. All right. Let's get back to dude, you're just letting me drive off the road here today.
I am sitting in the back seat enjoying the view.
Apparently. Now, back to marijuana.
What?
Why not?
Okay.
So, Alaska becomes the third state to legalize marijuana.
That's right. Yes, they did.
What do you make of that?
The people of Alaska voted for it, so that's the law. I mean, that's the way I feel. The people of the state of Alaska, the majority said, we want you to be able to own an ounce of pot, so that is now the law.
However, it's against federal law.
Mm-hmm.
They're breaking the law.
I tend to, but the feds aren't going to come in and do anything.
But
I tend to agree with states' rights myself.
But, well, we had an amendment here about same-sex marriage in support of traditional marriage, and the feds said, it's against our rules.
Imagine that, the federal government telling the state what to do.
Where's the consistency?
None.
So why are you down with the feds doing this and then saying you're a states' rights guy?
Where did I say I was down with the feds doing anything?
Well, I just kind of threw that in there.
I think you did. Again, you inserting my opinion. Stop that.
That's to get you back for going, hey, shiny object, Kevin. Really?
Yeah. Wait, what's that in the sky out there, Kevin? Yeah,
exactly.
Traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County and
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you. Coming up next hour, Governor Otter joins us. We will talk, well, the big issues. Number one, funding for education. The whole deal concerning the Idaho Education Network, what's going on there, and other big issues. Let's get you to traffic. We'll tell you. Coming up as well, Senator Risch will join us. We will get his thoughts on the new deal with Iran. Of course, the president vetoing the Keystone Pipeline. Do you believe that we need the Keystone? And other big issues of the day that resonate. We'll talk net neutrality. The government wants your internet. Well, some things that are just beyond comprehension. We'll discuss next. Stay with us. Fox News is next. 580 KIDO. Good morning. KIDO.